welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm a certified spiritual mentor, hypnotist, writer, integrative change worker, and life coach. I always say, this whole being human thing is kind of like an ongoing problem. So on this show, I tell everyday stories interwoven with spiritual principles, practical tools, and plenty of humor to help us transform from pain to peace, from wound to wisdom, from your story to your glory, and ultimately, from fear back to love. Hey, welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm wicked excited to be here today. And I'm just going to tell you right now, dear listener, you might be a new listener. You might be a loyal listener who's been here many times before. First of all, thank you so much for choosing to spend a little time together. It warms my heart. I swear it does. I was going to tell you right now, buckle up for safety. Because all you have to do is see my shirt that I'm wearing right now. So I'm going to back up and describe it. So I have my mass hole shirt on. Number one, townie attitude, a little Massachusetts townie attitude. So Vicky with two K's from Lawrence, who is one of the parts of me, one of the parts of my personality. She's running this podcast episode. I got my mass hole shirt on. I often joke and say hashtag evolved mass hole. I've evolved a little bit since my time growing up in Lawrence. And yesterday it was wicked fun because I was at a store here in New Hampshire, and one of the woman who was checking out my groceries heard my accent, and she's like, where are you from? And I said, well, I live north of here. And she's like, yeah, but that accent. And I said, oh, I grew up in Mass. And she's like, I grew up in Lawrence. And I was like, oh my God, me too. And I always thump my chest and I go, Lawrence kid in the house. I get so excited when I meet fellow Lawrencians. Anywho, so Vicky's got her panties a little bit in a bunch. And we're gonna dive into this. I'm calling this episode Cheap Shots. Cheap Shots. And you know, when I'm just going right for it. We are diving in the niceties. This actually might be, let me see. I got to check the date real quick, because is this episode? No, my 5-year podcast anniversary has already passed. That's wicked exciting, you guys. So for those of you, before I totally dive in, I should mention this. For those of you who have been listening to these shows for the last 5 years, like, holy moly, what a big deal. And just thank you so much. And those of you who discover me like in the 200s, because I think this is like episode 263, and then go back and start listening to earlier episodes. And some people have told me they go all the way back to number one and then listen to them all. So just like, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I'm going to be talking about I don't know when I'll do it, maybe next episode or whatever, but I'm going to be asking, if you do love this show, if you dig the show, if you feel like you get something from it, if you often share it with friends, if you find it valuable, if it helps you to shift your perspective and to choose love instead of fear, or if it just helps you to feel more seen or heard or whatever, if you just feel like you get something from this show, I'm going to be asking for your support in a different way, maybe like next week. Okay, and we're back. Here's the thing. Vicky's got some shit to say about cheap shots. Now, it's really interesting how a lot of times we can, I think, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not so much like regulate, but like if somebody's taking a cheap shot at me, like it depends on what it is, but I usually can find it kind of funny. I'll be like, wow, you know? But when I see people doing it to others, when I see people doing it to either friends or people I love or care about, or even people I don't know who would technically quote unquote be in this illusion, a stranger, right? Somebody I've never met before, whether it's human or animal, and I see somebody taking a cheap shot, man, Vicky does not like that. Vicky is one of what I would say, Vicky with two K's from Lawrence. Remember that part of me? So if you're not familiar with internal family systems, you can just Google it. It's also called, often called, parts work. I always talk about one of the parts of my personality is Vicky, who I consider one of my protectors. And she's really all about justice. Like, she does not like bullies. She doesn't like seeing injustices. She doesn't like to see unfairness. She doesn't like cruelty, meanness, like all those things. Okay. So Vicky really does not like when she sees somebody taking a cheap shot at somebody else. It's one thing if you want to make a valid comment, if you want to have a dialogue or a discussion that even though you might disagree, right, you're not going for the jugular. You're not trying, right? You're not trying to be a dick, right? You're not just trying to be mean for the sake of being mean. So one of the places, of course, where we all see this, and if you cannot be, I think, in the world on the internet, on social media, on YouTube, on any basically platform, and not see the way that people come for one another. So I have a friend who is really brilliant at what he does, and he puts out a lot of video content. And he did a video that I thought, I'm watching it as a, you know, let's call it a consumer of his content. Although I hate all these words, right? Like, but I'm not a fan of the way we talk about our creativity. But for the sake of keeping the lingo, you know, on point or whatever. So I watch his videos a lot. And I often will then go down and comment. And I always try to comment something supportive. If I feel like I don't have something to support, like to be, meaning, how do I say this? I don't leave a comment to attack people, to tear people down. Like, I'm not in that business. That's not interesting to me. I really believe that the way that we all get better and the way that we rise is by lifting others. Like, we help each other up. I have no interest in sitting around. Now, I'm not talking about processing something. There are times in our lives where things happen and then we get to process privately our feelings with safe people, right? I'm not talking about that. And in those cases, you might be like, I can't believe they did that. That was, you know, blah, 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 blah. You get to feel your feelings, have a discussion. And I always say, when we're in that place of fear, we then have the opportunity, once we kind of move that energy, right, that initial, call it a trigger, an upset, an emotional fracture, whatever you want to call it, we get to move through that and get back to the business of love. But I want to stay on this. So I watched this video. It's really professionally done. He's walking us through these things. And I'm thinking like, wow, this is really beneficial and helpful to his clients, to his community, to like anybody who just stumbles across this. You're going to learn something about this. And I go down in the comment to write, you know, something supportive to my friend. And I see that somebody has taken a cheap shot about their physical appearance. I'm not even going to say exactly what the comment is, but you can imagine, pick something on the physical body that humans love to go after, whatever it might be, right? So this person, this quote unquote guy, little keyboard weekend warrior over there, you know, it's amazing how tough people think they are when they're anonymous or when they're using a fake name or they're using their own name, but they live 3,000 miles away from you and know you'll probably never meet in person. It's mind-boggling to me. How ballsy, right? And I don't mean that in a good way. How ballsy in this case that I just think like, wow, really? That's what you wanted to do with your time? You watch that video and then the first thing that occurred to you to say. And it's one thing to think it. It's one thing to have a thought like pop into your head. It is a totally different thing to then let that thing become a word that you say out loud or type or text or whatever. Or then you actually, right, like do it. Like you either say it or you type it on your keyboard. And I think like, wow, like how fucking miserable do you have to be as a human being? That's how you want to spend your precious life force, your precious life energy. You could have done 17,000 other things. You could have said so many other things. And that's what you chose to do? And I thought to myself, like, you know, there are times when if I see somebody doing that, I will often, you know, go in and say something on behalf of my friend. But in this case, I'm like, I don't even want to acknowledge this person's comment. And then I noticed that my friend actually replied themselves and just said, thanks for the support. Now, I know this person and he's being sarcastic, but he's also making a point. And here's the other thing. It does no good. It does no good to engage with internet trolls, right? With people who they're in the business of hate. They're in the business of fear. They're in the business of tearing people down. They're in the business of shame. They're in the business of guilt. They're in the business of, again, fear. Because anything that is not love falls under the, and I mean like divine love, like true love. Human love is so fickle. I'm talking about who we really are. Who we really are as spiritual beings, I believe we are love. That is our essence. That's what we come from. And our job here on this planet is to spread that love. You know, that's what this podcast is about, is an opportunity to spread more love in the world. And so, you know, I just think to myself, like, wow, like you could have done, like I said, so many other things, and that's what you chose to do. And there's a comment that I often say, well, there's a quote that I often say, you know, sometimes I post it online or whatever. And I always say, why be an asshole when you could just be quiet? Why be an asshole when you can just be quiet? Because let me tell you something, you are choosing to say that thing. Like I said, it's one thing. We can't always stop the thoughts that come into our head. All of a sudden we realize, bloop, through our subconscious conditioning, whatever, our own lack of self-love or whatever's happening in your life, you're so miserable that I always say, oh, your subconscious is leaking, right? It is spilling out everywhere. And this is why I often say to people, you know, especially as a spiritual mentor and as a hypnotist and an integrative change worker and a life coach and all that, you know, I always say, like, having spiritual practices, and whether people call them morning rituals or routines or whatever, but I think having a connection to something greater and having a DSP, a daily spiritual practice, where you start your day getting your mind right, where you start your day getting your mind and your heart, and I would add in this case, your mouth, right? Right. Okay. There's a reason why it really matters, because it's the difference between going out into the world in an inspired way, right? With spirit, with breath and life force and energy to be the best human you can be, to be the best version of you that you can be. That's the difference between going out into the world being inspired versus going out into the world and inflicting yourself and your curmudgeon-y and your bitterness and your whatever you want to call it, your self-hatred and your comparison and your all your bullshit, right? It's so much better if we can start to learn how to lead with our brilliance. And think about that word brilliance. It's not just about like how smart you are. Like we often say, oh, they're brilliant, like they're a genius. Brilliance is also a quality of like light, right? When somebody has a brilliance to them, it's like luminosity, right? And that's the part that we want leading the way. And I'm not talking about quote unquote being good and being nice, right? That's a whole other podcast for another day. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that it's not appropriate sometimes to say very direct things that other people might not particularly love hearing. There is a time and a place for using our voice and speaking up. But if somebody just posts something on the internet to be helpful and to share what they love and to share what they're excited about and to share their work and their art and their creativity, and you think it's your job to try to be the smartest one in the room, to be the most clever one in the room, the most sarcastic one in the room, the one to take the cheap shot, then I am so sorry, because you are misinformed about how all of this works here. Because the reality is, in this, I always say the scientists are starting to catch up to the spiritualists. The scientists are starting to catch up to the yogis and, you know, the people, the mystics and the people who have been in the spiritual realm and working kind of that angle for a really long time, which is this: we are all one. If we break it down even to quantum physics, there's no place really where I end and you begin. We are all one. And in spiritual traditions, we talk about this kind of collective consciousness. And A Course in Miracles, we say all minds are joined, right? So anything that you are actually doing to another person, if you're taking a cheap shot at them, guess who you're actually taking that cheap shot at? You're taking that cheap shot at yourself. you know, and I know it's been kind of going around the internet too. I guess Julia Roberts, you know, the actress, she put up a video, this little video that she thought was so innocent and so sweet of her sitting with her daughter. I don't know if they were doing a puzzle or they were hanging out on a Sunday morning or whatever it was. And she's sitting at the table with her big Julia Roberts smile, looking gorgeous, looking beautiful. And her daughter's sitting across from her. And she, you know, I saw the picture of them and I thought, oh my God, how cute, how sweet they're spending time together. I'm like, beautiful, beautiful, these beautiful women, right? And then Julia Roberts was responding to the hatred and the comments and the meanness. And I just think, how ignorant do you want to be in this lifetime, right? Like, how could you be mean about that face? They were saying things to her like, I guess you look so old and you look terrible, and talking about how I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are? Right? We have so much power in this lifetime to be kind to one another. Like, just think in your life back. Think back in your life, in the times in your life. Because little kids, we know, can be little shits, right? They can be little bastards. So think back when we were in grade school or whatever. Maybe you were homeschooled and you had a sibling, whatever it was. Think back to somewhere in your life where somebody said something really mean to you. The reality of it is the subconscious is picking up everything. And we will often carry that with us if we don't do some personal development work, some spiritual work, if we don't start to question the stories that we tell ourselves, because oftentimes the stories that we're telling ourselves are not even ours. They didn't originate with us. They came from someone else's bullshit, someone else's lack of self-love, who felt like, I'm going to feel better by tearing this other person down or making this cheap shot comment about their body or their, you know, their clothes. Like, I remember, you know, for a very short period of time when I was a kid, you know, we had always been in public schools. And then we did a short stint in Catholic school. Those Catholic kids were fucking, they were mean little fuckers. Let me tell you that. They would make fun of my clothes. They would make fun of, right, like my shoes, because my sneakers sometimes had holes in them. Like, we didn't have everything, right? Like, and I get it. They're little kids, right? Like, I get it, right? But I'm like, that kind of behavior left unchecked turns into, those small assholes turn into big assholes. And those are the people that start getting the power and running the world. You know what I'm saying? So I just think back and I'm like, you know, and I get it. Me too. I there have been times, and I did a whole podcast on this. Well, actually, it was a podcast I had a guest on. But I talked about how I still think back to this girl in elementary school who I was mean to. Like, I still can remember, right, being a little shit. And the way it makes me feel, the way it makes my body contract now, and I've forgiven myself for it. I have done that work and I've forgiven myself for it. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm not, you know, it's not like I've never done it either. And I really try as an adult, as an older person, right, to question my behaviors, to question my thoughts, to question my words. You know, and another thing too, because in this, up to now, I'm kind of just talking about things that we say to each other and whether we type them or we text them or we speak them out loud. And that's just kind of the things that we say, right? Then there's the things that we do. And recently somebody broke into the yoga studio where I've been holding classes. It's been a total blast, by the way. It's been amazing. I've been having so much fun. And they stole several things. They stole, you know, my Bose music player and a couple other things. And, you know, I just thought to myself, first of all, my first thought was like, I was kind of dumbfounded. At first I just thought, like, did I misplace it? Like, how is this possible? How is this possible? And then I thought, wow, the balls, the size of cantaloupes that you must have to steal from a yoga studio, to steal from a sacred place that is trying to help people in the world, trying to help people feel better physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. and taking one of the tools that we use. Now, I don't play music during my classes, but I do often use it for, you know, Shavasana, final relaxation, or when I'm doing when I'm leading like a guided hypno relaxation, just kind of having that music in the background can be fantastic. And I thought to myself, really, like the steps, I try to break things down into steps, right? And I think, okay, so first of all, you had to have the thought, I'm going to break into this place. Then you actually have to like go into the building, walk up the stairs, somehow like whatever, you know, and we've handled, you know, security at this point. But like, then I've got to figure out like, oh, I'm going to actually open one of these doors, step into a place that I know I have no business being in, look around, determine what I'm going to take another item, right? Like a bag to put the other items that I'm stealing in. Like, and I think to myself, at no point does it occur to you that you're being a piece of shit right now? Like you're behaving in such an incongruent way with who you really are. Now, look, we could totally get into the psychology of, you know, we could sit around and we could make excuses and we could say, oh, well, clearly they weren't in a good state of mind, or maybe they have mental health issues, or maybe they have addiction issues, maybe they have da 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 da. We could break it all down. And of course, we could find compassion and sympathy. You know, and at one point I said, hey, maybe they felt like they needed that more than I did, right? Maybe they felt like they needed my Bose player. And the thing is that it was more, you know, I had had that Bose player for a wicked long time. They don't make them anymore. They made them from like 2004 to 2008. So somewhere in that window, like right after I opened my very first studio in 2003, like I got that player. And that player has been to, right? Like every yoga class I taught, pretty much all the retreats I've done, the New Hampshire yoga retreats I've done, all my workshops, all my retreats. I used it to play songs at my wedding. Like it was more sentimental than anything. And I'm just thinking like, wow, nowhere along the way do you think about the person on the other end of this thing. Like what's the effect going to be? Because at that point, the robber, the thief, let's call them what they are, the thief is causal. The thief is the cause. The effect was not just, you know, whoever's music players those were didn't have them. There's so much more that we don't know. How that ripple effect that it's going to have, the thing that we're about to say, the thing that we're about to do. So here's what I really want to get to, the heart of this, is when you're taking cheap shots with your words, with your actions, right? When you're choosing to be the kind of person that does those things, you're not only doing a disservice to your fellow brothers and sisters, right? When I see people doing horrible things to animals, right? That just if you're in children, like don't even, oh my God, don't even get me started. Vicky will have a conniption fit right here live on air. When I see the brutality and the injustices, of like, and I go back, like, I remember being, you know, however old I was, but I was little, like I was little. And I remember PBS or some station was doing I don't know if I want to call it a documentary, but they were doing a show on like the civil rights movement. And I remember seeing Dr. King's face, right? Martin Luther King Jr. on the screen. And I remember seeing, you know, and I grew up in Lawrence, Mass. It was an immigrant city. So I had kind of grown up where we had friends and people of all races, all different backgrounds, you know, like all these things. So that wasn't, seeing brown skinned people, right, was not unfamiliar to me. What wasn't, like what I didn't fucking get was what I was seeing on TV is these white men in uniforms, like police officers and like mayors and stuff like this in this documentary, like hosing black people with like fire hoses and putting like attack. And I remember standing there crying and just thinking like, you know, and I remember, I think I said, mommy, like, why are they doing this? Like, this is so unfair. Like I never understood it. And I, to this day, like, I just can't, I just can't, You know, when I think in my life, I think back to times when maybe I have been unkind or I have been cruel in some way. And I know that I was in some sort of a lack capacity. I was in my own hell or my own suffering where I must have been in, like, call it a trauma response, or, you know, my amygdala was turned on and I was in fear mode. My nervous system was clearly not regulated. That, you know, the prefrontal cortex, the part of my brain that made good decisions, was clearly not turned on, right? I'm not making excuses, because that's one thing I often say, is that trauma explains a lot of things, but it doesn't excuse them. At a certain age, look it, at a certain age, hello, adults, we can't keep blaming what we're doing now on what happened back then. We have a responsibility to do our work, to do our spiritual work, to look within ourselves, you know? And I'm sure people could be listening to this and saying, like, oh, KK's calling people out. Like, oh, she's calling people out, you know? It's not that I'm calling people out. It's that I'm calling them in. I'm asking them to go inward, to be introspective, to go inside yourself and reflect. Reflect on what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're doing, who you're being. And ask yourself, is these behaviors, it's so funny, as I'm talking right outside my window, this is like all these turkeys just go trotting by my window. So funny. And we're back. Sorry. Squirrel. Turkey. Okay. And we're back. So, you know, we have to be asking ourselves, is this thing I'm about to say or do, this choice I'm about to make, right? If we reflect inwardly, think about some shit, get honest, take a fearless moral inventory, do the work, right? And ask ourselves, is this thing that I'm about to say, think, or do? And all thinking, we can't always control the first thought. We can control what we choose to do about that thought. Because your thoughts turn into words, turn into actions, turn into behaviors, turn into a bunch of feelings, right? They turn into a lot of things that can often, you know, either let us have the experience of heaven or the experience of hell, right? Of our own making, I mean. And we get to ask myself, you know, when I reflect, this thing I'm about to do, does it reflect who I really am, which is love? Does it reflect who I really want to be in the world? Like, if somebody were to only judge me, quote unquote, right, on this next action, would I be okay with it? Because I stand behind that, because that's truly who I am. And that's how I want to be known. Because if we don't ask ourselves these questions, and if we don't do our spiritual work, and this is why it's so fascinating, right? As a spiritual mentor, as all the work that I do, whether it's in somatics as a yoga teacher, whether it's in spirituality as a spiritual mentor and a yoga teacher, et cetera, because that's also part of being a yoga teacher, or the subconscious mind, right? The brain science work that I do as a hypnotist, as a life coach and all that stuff, as a change worker. You know, when I look at all of these things, one of the things that I realize is, and I'm going to do a whole separate podcast on this, so I don't want to go into it too deeply, but I often talk about how we have like a symptom, problem, solution, issue. And a lot of times we're aware of a symptom that we're having. We don't like how we feel, but we're not sure what the real problem is. And again, like I said, I'll go into this much deeper another time. So we often don't realize that personal development and spiritual work is what we actually need. And people will just lash out instead of going in and questioning themselves, their own behaviors, their own patterns, their own habits. And that's what cheap shots are. To me, it's like literally you taking your own suffering, your own fear, and just kind of like vomiting it on other people, launching it, lobbing it at other people. You know what I mean? And look, if this were, if we want this world, I always say, you want to change the world, you want the world to be different, you got to stop by changing your own damn self. That's where the work is. And if you're fine showing up as a total dick all the time, if you're fine thinking you're so funny because you took cheap shots at people, then you have some work to do. And people can take this episode however they want to take it, but I am just not interested in people who just want to keep behaving like children. I am all for being childlike. I think having childlike wonder is beautiful. I think being innocent and childlike and curious and playful and fun, great. You know what I'm not into? When you act childish. And we have some growing up to do as a nation. So I'm committed to doing my part. Doesn't mean I always 100% get it right, but I try to watch myself like a hawk. I try to watch the stuff that comes out of my mouth. I try to watch my thoughts. I try to watch my words. I try to watch my actions. Not saying I always get it 100% right. And there are times, right? I've told this story before. It comes from, I'm sure we could trace it back to different spiritual traditions. This story came to me through my meditation teacher, Ashwarin. But he talks about how there was a snake, right? A snake that was lived in the weeds, right? The grass, right? Along the side of this village road. And, you know, people would be passing on that road to go from village to village or to visit family or the kids going to school or whatever it was. And the snake was scaring them. Not only was he scaring them, like he was sometimes like biting them, and he was being naughty. He was not being a very nice snake. And the villagers wanted to kill the snake. And so, you know, the holy man, the wise man, the spiritual leader, I would say, basically says, hey, let me go talk to the snake first before we kill him. And he goes and he talks to the snake and he's like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you biting them? Like, they're going to want to kill you. And, you know, and the snake's like, okay, like, you know, I don't want to be killed. You know, I'll just leave them alone. Okay. So whatever it is, a month or so goes by. The old wise man is walking down the road and he sees these kids harassing the snake. And he sees the snake and the snake is really skinny and close to death. And he's just, you know, they're just poking it with a stick and they're throwing rocks at it and they're being little shits, right? And so the wise man like chases the kids off. He shoos them away, tells them to knock it off. And he looks down at the snake and he says to him, and he says, hey, like what's happening? Like, why were you just letting them poke you and torture you and stuff? And why are you so thin? And he said, well, you told me to like leave them alone and stuff. So I've just been staying off in the bushes and I can't really come out and, you know, feed myself or get water or do these things because I've been trying to like leave them alone. And he's like, well, you have to eat. You have to nourish yourself. You have to take care of yourself. Just don't bite them or whatever. And he said, but why would you let those little kids treat you that way? And he said, you told me not to bite them. And he said, I told you not to bite, but I didn't tell you not to hiss. So sometimes as humans, we also need to hiss, like hiss. We don't have to bite people. We don't have to attack them. We don't have to be cruel. But we do sometimes get to what I call being firm but loving. We can compassionately resist people's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's not about being a doormat. We can still learn to hiss. But if you feel like you just need to go on to a total stranger's like comment section or their Facebook page or their Instagram or their TikTok or wherever the hell, wherever, and just try to be superior, try to take cheap shots, you need to reconcile that shit within yourself. You need to ask yourself, like, what's going on with that, right? Because it is not reflective of who you really are as an extension of the divine. That is your human ego. You have been hijacked by your ego. you think you're in the driver's seat and it's not. It's all your wounds and all your trauma and all your bullshit and all your crappy behavior. I always say your subconscious is leaking because you might think you're attacking that other person, but all it's doing is showing you how you kind of feel about yourself. Now, again, I'm not saying that there aren't times when we should hiss. We should speak up about things. We should push back about things. We should use our voice. I'm not saying, like, everybody just be Pollyanna-ish. But, you know, if you know, like, let's just use me being a vegan, right? So I'm vegan ethically, not just a plant-based diet. I didn't mean to say, I don't try to be mean, right? But vegans do it because, and again, it's not because we think we're better than everybody else. It's because we don't think we're better than everybody else. We don't think that we're better than animals. We think animals have rights and they have a right to live without being raped or abused or like treated like a product or to be slaughtered and murdered against their will. No animal is sacrificing itself to be on your plate, P.S. That's not what they're here to do. That's not what they want to do. So, but people know that I'm a vegan and they will often go in my comment section and write things like, bacon, right? Of course, it's like the stupidest and most lowest common denominator thing. And they show up with their ignorance and they show, because people fear what they don't understand. People fear what they don't know and they don't understand. And rather than educate themselves, they would rather make fun of you or tear you down or call you names, right? So many of my friends who are like vegan, quote unquote, influencers, vegan coaches who have huge followings, my friend Jordan, who I've had on this show several times, you would not believe, I mean, maybe you would, but you would might not believe just the ridiculous, horrible things that people say to him on a daily basis. You know, and I think about the mental health, not only of the people who have to be on the receiving end of other people's self-hatred, but the mental health of the kind of people that think that that's a good idea. Like that's how I want to spend, you know, my time, my energy, my life force is by being mean to other people and attacking them. So again, I'm not saying there isn't a time or a place to push back, to say things that other people might not consider quote unquote nice. There are exceptions to everything. There are moments and experiences and situations when it is appropriate, right? To not sit there and worry about if you're being nice or being good. But on a day-to-day basis, people, can we please just cut the shit already and grow the fuck up? And start to be responsible for, remember, the thoughts are going to come barreling into your head, especially if you have no daily spiritual practice, if you have no DSP, if you have no way of slowing down your mind, if you are somebody that doesn't meditate, you don't contemplate, you don't have a prayer practice or whatever it is, however it is that you can slow down and train your brain, mind training. This is what meditation really is. Mind training. If you don't have the ability to place your mind where you want it, if you don't have the ability to slow down your mind and your thoughts, then you are just reacting all the time out of your fear instead of responding and choosing to show up from a place of love. It all really comes down to love and fear. So much of what I teach, your story to your glory and all this stuff, it really comes down to these spiritual principles that get acted out. But they show up also in our history. And a lot of people who have had really tough childhoods, I get it. It explains a lot of things, but it doesn't excuse them. And we have to start taking ownership. I always say, own both your bullshit and your brilliance. Sometimes people have a hard time doing both, right? They're not great at owning, right? Their worth and their enoughness and their self-esteem and their self-love and all that, right? People aren't always great at taking a compliment, to say it simply. But they're also not great at looking at how that lack that they have in their life, that trauma, those things are now showing up in ways where it's affecting other people. So this is actually, even though it seems like I'm coming in hot a little bit, this is a love letter from my heart to yours. First of all, if you're somebody who's been on the receiving end of somebody else's cruelty, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that somebody else chose you to be their punching bag. They tried to wipe their feet on you. They tried to pull you down. Somehow they get off on it. They think somehow that it makes them better. I am sorry for their cruelty and their ignorance. And I see you. Even though I might not see you with my human eyes right now, I see you. And I know that you are worthy. I know that you are enough. I know that you are loved. I know that you have a divine spark within you that nobody or nothing in this world can extinguish. You are love itself. That's who you are. And if we are love, then our only gig, our only job is to extend that love. And this is where we have to start calling ourselves on our own stuff. We have to be willing. It's not about calling yourself out. It's about calling yourself in to look at, who am I being? How am I being? What am I thinking? What am I saying? What am I doing? Am I choosing love or fear? Am I operating from a thought system of fear? Or am I choosing to operate and live from a place of love? Because you will have an entirely different experience based on that daily, moment by moment choice. I'm pausing a moment to see if there's anything else that wants to come up. You know, the short process is, and again, you know, I say a prayer, it's amended slightly from A Course in Miracles. I've said it on the show before. I've been saying this prayer daily for over 30 years. And I say it in the morning before my feet hit the floor, before I get out of bed, because I want to put the voice for love. You can call that in a teacher, Holy Spirit, Spirit, higher self. Whatever you want to call it. I want to put that part of me that is always in constant contact with God, the part of me that is in communion with the beloved, the part of me that is, again, call it the divine, call it source, call it creator, call it universe, call it Mother Nature. I don't care what you call, whatever your name, I always say, insert your own happy word for God or whatever here, right? My desire each day is to put my mind, not just my brain, like, because your brain is in your body. Your mind is kind of like, I want to put my mind, right, in communication, not just like listening, being able to listen. And this is what meditation allows us to do. It allows us to get quiet enough to hear the voice for love within us, to let our thoughts, words, and actions be directed by that part of us that has not been fooled by this illusion of separation, of suffering, of sickness here in the world, right? So the prayer that I say, again, adapted from A Course in Miracles, is simply, please have me go where you would have me go. Have me do what you would have me do. Have me say what you would have me say and to whom. Please use me. Please use me. Please use me. And so it is. Amen. And by doing that each morning, I have trained myself to be aware of what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, and to whom I'm saying it to, and how am I saying it? And what's my intention in what I'm saying? Like, what am I trying to accomplish here? Do I want to be operating and living out of a place of love? Am I ready to relinquish that old thought system of fear, those old stories and habits and behaviors and patterns that no longer serve me and do not reflect who I truly am? This is the work that I do with people. This is how I am called to serve and to help people. To stop telling those old stories of separation and all those old stories that keep us stuck in our suffering, in our trauma, in our misery. Because it is showing up in your marriage or in your relationships, in your friendships, in your work, in your business, in your creativity. There is nothing that in your day-to-day life that is not affected by what's happening or not happening in your spiritual life. Because it's all the same thing. And, you know, I highly encourage you, if you're listening to this, you might be somebody that already has a spiritual practice, and double amen hands to that. Keep going. Keep going, please. The world needs you. right? But if you're somebody who's just been walking around for a long time or a short period of time, inflicting yourself on others, it is time to become inspired. It is time to become inspired. So with spirit, inspiri, right? So time to plug in and connect to something greater than yourself. And being able, this is an important thing that I want to say too. If you recognize that you've been kind of being a shit lately, it doesn't help you to go into a shame cycle. So instead of asking, I just said this to a client the other day, instead of asking like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Like, why would I do that? We ask ourselves and said, what happened to me? What happened to me? That choice would seem normal, or that choice would seem okay, or that choice would seem acceptable. So we pull it out of judgment and fear and shame and guilt and all that stuff and blame. And instead we go into curiosity and we say, wow, why did that become normalized? Why did speaking that way to myself or somebody else become okay or normalized? And what can I do instead? Right? What kind of tools can I use? Again, hello, this is the work I do with people. You need help with this? Go to KarenKenny.com/work with me. Go find out. At the very least, if you're local, start coming to some of my yoga classes. Go to KarenKenny.com/yoga. Because I'd love to help. This is part of why I'm here on the planet, right? To create words, to write, to communicate, to do things like this, but also to coach and to mentor, to spiritual mentor, and to help people, you know, have. And they're not theoretical tools. I'm talking, these are down to earth, practical, applicable tools that you can start using right away in your life, right? To help you, like, again, own both your brilliance and your bullshit. But we don't have to keep fearing our bullshit. We don't have to go into that spiral, that victim loop and that shame loop. It's like we have tools for saying like, hey, let's look at this. I'm going to stand by your side and I'm cheering you on and I'm rooting for that part of you, right? I'm rooting for the truth in you. All right, I think I'm going to stop it there. So if you find yourself taking cheap shots, number one, cut the shit, knock it off, right? Then get really clear, get honest with yourself. What's this about? What am I feeling inside? What's going on in me? And sometimes when we first start asking these questions, we'll get a lot of, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But some part of you does know. And sometimes this is why we go in and we first ask the internal teacher. We get honest with ourselves. I say we look in the soul mirror. We get honest with ourselves. Sometimes we find that we need external teachers to help us navigate what's going on internally and to discover and use the resources that we already have within us. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. I super duper appreciate you. You know, and it's just, it points back to everything I say at the end of every episode. I sometimes switch it up, say it in different ways. But what I'm really saying is, look, it just go out and spread more love. Go out and spread more love in the world. Wherever you go, may you leave yourself and the animals and the other people, the humans, right? May you leave the rocks, the trees, the rivers, the streams, the mountains, right? The environment, the planet, better than how you found it. So if you walk into a situation, right? What can you do? How can you serve? How can you make it better? How can you, just your, even your presence, if you don't have the resources to give, just you being there, your presence, your energy, who you are being, has its own vibration. We'll talk about this on another episode about the heart and how the heart kind of has its own electromagnetic field, as I like to call it. Just you being there can make a difference. Wherever you go, may you be a blessing. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show. I really love spending some time together. Now, if you dig the show or know someone that could benefit from this episode, please share it with them and help me to spread the good word and the love. And if you want to be in the know about all of my upcoming shenanigans, head on over to KarenKenny.com/sign up and join my list. It'll be wicked fun to stay in touch. Bye.